Well, I'm Anthony Mantova. My brothers and I purchased our music store 11 years ago, Mantova's 2 Street Music. We're located in Old Town Eureka at 2nd and C Street, and it's just been incredible. It's been a great experience working with people across all kinds of different genres of music, from the beginner to advanced. Really grateful, and it's just been a good time. We are open for Monday to Saturday. We now take Sundays off. I know that's hard to accept for some folks, but after all these years, we finally had to do it. So Monday to Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Anthony, with some of the different challenges that are out there in business, you know, particularly being a small independent business, what's been the most gratifying thing?
Most gratifying thing is I think everybody wants to keep it local. Everybody wants to shop local. The education efforts that have been made over the years, I think, have worked. Everybody knows that if we don't shop local, if we don't support our local business, we won't have any. And I'm very happy that so many people over the years have decided to shop with us, and they keep us going. And it's not just that they spend local. They also talk with me about what products they would like me to carry, and I do everything I can to carry those products.
So special orders, or are you just talking about on the shelf, regular, if you get two people asking for this kind of microphone, you're going to start stocking that kind of microphone?
Oh, it's a case by case. If it's an accessory, something small, typically I will grab maybe 10 of them or 20 of them just to try the local market and see how it goes. Of course, that takes care of the person that made the special order. But then we're also trying out just to see if everybody else would be interested in it as well. There are some occasions where somebody wants something that I might not be a dealer for. Sometimes I have a good relationship with that company, even though I'm not a dealer, and can negotiate maybe a one or two piece buy. That's something I do for people as well. The best thing to do is just call and ask. Don't be afraid to ask. Even if you've got a problem with your gear, call, and our staff can talk with you about it, and maybe we can find a solution. We have several staff members. Myself, I handle a lot of the billing and some of the behind-the-scenes stuff in addition to being a part of the front counter. But my brother Nick, he works in the repair room. For repairs, we fix guitars. We don't fix amplifiers, but we do fix guitars and band instruments, things like saxophones, trumpets, clarinets. My dad also helps out. He teaches lessons there, and he fixes accordions. Some of the more complicated accordion repairs we have to send off to other locations around the country. But he does quite a bit of it in-house. And then Justin Grimaldo works in our online sales side of the business, which it's funny. I've been doing this for a while, and I don't touch any of the online sales. Justin does all of that. And we have online sales that go around the country every day.
The instruments that you're talking about, a lot of times folks will think drums and guitars or things that look like they should be guitars.
Sure.
They oftentimes don't think about some of the woodwinds. So you mentioned the bands, the clarinets and flutes and things of that nature. What's the most popular instrument for folks that are playing or involved with music here locally?
As incredible as it may sound, it changes every year. I remember 3 years ago, you couldn't keep violins in stock. This year, the year of 2021, I think we're going to be seeing more guitars, just like we were seeing in 2020. 2020 was all about keyboards and guitars. I believe that is going to continue forward into this current year, simply because the school programs are just getting back online. And so without the school programs being fully engaged in 2020, we saw a big drop in band instrument rentals and band instrument sales, and we didn't make a lot of the usual purchasing we do in saxophones and clarinets just because there were very little in the way of school programs to back that up. So I think we're going to see guitars and keyboards continue to dominate.
What triggers an instrument? I wouldn't call it coming in vogue,
right?
But those trends shifts. Is it a popular song? Is it a music video? Is it,
you know, we're really trying, for example, we're really trying to bring back the accordion. You know how great it would be if somebody like Taylor Swift would pick up an accordion and just play something. Even just a couple notes. If she did that, we would have probably millions of people wanting the accordion. It's a combination of things. It can be what you see on TV. There could be a reality TV show where a character that everybody likes just happens to pick up a trumpet, and all of a sudden people see that. It really is media-driven, and so it's hard to answer your question because with YouTube and social media, the news of the day changes by the minute. So I'm just guessing here, but it's I try to carry a wide variety to take care of whatever curves the media throws at us.
At least on the initial wave when it hits the shore, yeah.
Right.
I think you probably have a higher chance of Alison Krauss with an accordion than you do with Taylor Swift.
That's probably right.
And I don't think Mr. Welk is coming back.
No, afraid not. Oh, he's still on TV, though.
Yeah. Can't get him off.
No.
I knew you before this whole thing happened. What got you into music? I mean, when I think of Mantova's, yeah, your dad with the accordion.
Yeah.
Not the kids so much.
Did you
guys always have some kind of musical interest?
Yeah, growing up at Fortuna High, we were all band geeks. You know, I played saxophone. My brother Nick played trumpet. Matt was into trombone. We didn't really start playing guitar at all until we bought the store, just because that was the lead instrument. I think just the three of us wanting to start a business. We had already had multiple jobs, Nick and I especially, and just wanted to be our own boss and make a go of it. The previous owner of the store was ready to sell, and we, friend of a friend, we heard about it and decided, why not? Let's give it a try. I'm glad we did.
What is the biggest surprise?
Well, the biggest surprise, if we're going to talk about recent current events, would be getting things from my vendors. We've got a lot of back orders. We have a lot of product that isn't coming in a timely fashion just because of kind of the upheaval going on in the world right now. Product is still coming in, but it's a little bit of a challenge because I'll get customers and want to place special orders, and there's a little bit of time calling the rep and seeing, can I really get this? And it makes it interesting, but that's one of the more recent surprises. I think overall, one of the big surprises is when I open the store, I know for sure people are going to be coming in, and I know that every day is going to be different and exciting. We do a lot of trade, a lot of consignment, and so we have a lot of people coming in for a variety of different reasons. It's not the kind of store where we sell one thing and just focus on one thing. It's a daily set of challenges. Keeps it interesting.
So does that force you to be a generalist or to be an expert in multiple silos?
You have to be an expert in what's popular as much as you can be, but you also have to be a generalist. You have to be both. Yeah.
Now, you don't think of a lot of literature in most music stores, not books necessarily, but I'm thinking sheet music and some of those types of things. Have there been sectors of what would have been a music store that have just gone totally digital?
Yeah.
So you don't have to... You don't have the challenge, you don't have the opportunity to be able to have some of the things that maybe 30, 40 years ago would have been found in a book, not in a bookstore, but in a music store.
Well, that's absolutely right. If you went to your local music store in the 1950s, you better believe there would be a wall full of vinyl records. Back then, you were your music store had more band instruments than guitars and typically had a lot of vinyl records and things like that. Of course, we don't, but... more current sheet music, individual sheet music, like one song pages, has all gone digital. There is very little that I, as the merchant, can go buy and put on the wall and expect to sell. But thankfully, customers are okay with that. They're okay with the instant print service that we offer. If somebody wants a song, typically it costs $3 to $6, depending on who the licensee is and the artist and all that. But we've been able to take care of a lot of demands that way. And that's another reason to call me. If there's a song that you heard on the radio, if there's a song that you used to think about and haven't, and you want to play, call me and let's see if we can print it. It's a very simple service we offer. We still offer sheet music books, but like many stores, we have cut down on that inventory quite a bit just because of changing times.
Why do people play instruments? Why are they, you know, I have zero aptitude.
Yeah.
Okay. They lost it from grandpa through mom. It could have, which obviously indicates it was dad's issue.
Sure.
But, I mean, there are some that get it. There's some that don't. There are some, and I've had people tell me it's like a language. It's like learning a language.
Right.
Okay, well, I didn't do real well in German either, so, or English for many perspectives. Why does somebody get involved? What is the common theme for people who want to be making music?
I'm going to start very general here. I think a lot when I hear from people that say I'm tone deaf, I think a lot less people are tone deaf than really are. It's not something that everybody has can have access to music. Everybody can get to a certain point of performance and ability through training. There is also natural ability, though. Yes, there is that person who you can give him any instrument and he can make music. But even that person, if he wants to reach his potential, has to have training. So we offer lessons. With the recent COVID action that's been going on, many of our teachers went from in the store to at home. But we still have their phone numbers, and we are still happy to direct you to those teachers. While those teachers are staying at home, I have been adding a few more teachers as well in the store. So while the range of instruments I can help educate you on has cut down a bit, you should still call me, whether it's piano or drums or guitars, because I can put you in the right direction. So I'm still a good resource for connecting you or your child to music education. One more thing I'd say about that is with the recent COVID situation, a lot of people had to stay home. They really had to. And I think the idea of staying home and having to watch daytime TV all day, well, it's sad. Nobody wants to live that way. And so from March to April to May, when we were seeing the first examples of what this lockdown would mean, I would say maybe 90% of our customers in those first few months of lockdown were all beginners, which is incredible. It was really good to see.
Right, sure. Seedlings become...
Absolutely, yeah. Right. We'll see them again and again, hopefully.
Now, you'd mentioned drums, piano, things that, when I think of them, it's probably different than when you think of them. I mean, to me, a piano is a piano. It's either an upright or a grand or a baby grand.
Right.
It's not a keyboard. It's not like you're on the computer. Things have changed. With the skill set that it was needed to play, let's call it a traditional version of the instrument versus sure. today, are they the same? Are they different?
They're different, but the integration of taking the positive elements of both is incredible, meaning you can buy a keyboard for me for $699 that can connect to your computer, and what you play gets recorded. And not only that, it goes the other way too. You can change the software on the computer to tell the hardware what to do. You can split the keyboard, one side being one thing, one side being the other. So we're seeing the positive elements of keyboards being mixed with acoustic pianos. There's a Disclavier from Yamaha, which I don't sell. It's $120,000 plus. This keyboard, though, can go fully online, and you can do all kinds of things. Years ago, Elton John had a concert, and Yamaha was showing off the technology. And if you owned one of these Disclaviers, and you turned it on during Elton John's concert, in the same real time that Elton John was playing his piano, yes, your Disclavier at home, the keys would go down and play at the same rate. Like you could have, so you would be able to have an Elton John concert in your home if you just turned that particular piano on and were tied into the internet. And that's incredible technology. And that was incredible technology, I guess, 6 years ago. So we are so far ahead of that. Roland was a huge leader. I think Roland was pretty much responsible for MIDI technology, and that gave you the ability to take keyboards from the 80s and the 90s and interface them with computers with very low latency so that you could create and share what you were doing very quickly. And now we're hearing rumors of Bluetooth 2 technology around the corner. We keep hearing about it, but it hasn't happened yet, so I'm excited about that too.
Just a piano or keyboard instrument, or is that true with...
Oh, it's true.
A bunch of others.
Drum sets, for example, they have taken they've made triggers that you can put on an actual drum set. You could put a trigger on the bass drum and on the tom-toms, and those triggers go to a module. So while you're playing your acoustic drum set, you are also making a digital copy that's going to the module, and that module you can set to be a Caribbean drum. You could set it to be an old 50s drum. You could set it to be pretty much whatever you want. And you can integrate both your acoustic playing and the digital copy on the computer, and you can do all kinds of things with that. And that's just the drum set. We've seen advances with trumpets where Yamaha's Silent Brass system is fantastic. I happen to sell it. It's a mute that goes on the trumpet, which makes your parents happy. But the mute is connected to earbuds that go to you, and so you actually hear a crystal clear sound of how your trumpet really sounds, but nobody else does. Great for training, great for practice any time of day.
Great for the garage band.
Great for the garage band, yeah, exactly. But we're seeing this integration across a multiple different amount of instruments.
So are those instruments different? I mean, if we grabbed, let's say if I grabbed Grandpa's violin that he got his master's on in the 30s. Okay. And could master that.
Yeah.
Okay. Grab something off your shelf today. Would that be transferable? Or going the other way, somebody today, if they start, you know, say they are able to buy one of the really nice, older, real, quote-unquote,
sure,
real deal instruments, are they going to sound the same? Are they going to be able to react the same? Is it a different instrument today than what it was before?
This is what's really interesting. It is the same instrument, but generally speaking, it's the same instrument with better parts. Guitars today that...
So like vehicles?
Yeah. Well, no, that I think vehicles would be a little different because vehicles you can't work on yourself anymore, where back in the past you could. You could go and buy different parts and you could soup up your vehicle to be a high performance item. What I'm talking about is more of you can purchase an instrument for $200 to $300 and you get a better quality than $1,000 would have gotten you in the 70s.
Because of those advancements.
Because of the advancements. We have, as an industry, we have gotten really good at making your money go farther. We've gotten really good at giving you a better guitar for $300. A better drum set for $500. We've, because of the competition and the demand and people's budgets, right? Our industry has come a long way. And when you add the fact that I do trades and I have used product too, your money goes really far.
But the fingering and things of that nature.
Oh, it's all the same.
So the physicality is the same.
Physicality is the same. One little change with that would be, like, for example, piano teachers. Piano teachers, if they're going to have a student that buys a keyboard, they want weighted keys. And that does cost a little more. Usually starts at $500. A digital keyboard where you hit the keys and they feel exactly like a piano, that would be an example of an old age requirement on newer, cheaper stuff.
So for me, it would be the difference between a piano and an organ. The motion is the same, but it feels different.
You could look at it that way.
Is a little different.
Yeah. That's complicated though, because organ sales plummeted in the 90s when the digital keyboards, when cheap digital keyboards came out, and that's an interesting thing. The history fanatics out there, this area used to buy a lot of organs. Maxon's Music back in the day, they had a team of guys that would go out, and a lot of people out in the hills would buy organs, and there was a team here that would go out and set them up, and it was just a good entertainment back then. But unfortunately, that's one thing that went by the wayside. I occasionally get calls from people saying, I have an expensive organ, I want to give it away, and I don't know where to send them.
And nobody wants it.
And nobody wants it. It's a shame.
Yeah, Maxon's Music World.
Yep.
Tom, yeah, it's interesting how things evolve. What do you see out into the future in the next 5 years? More the computerization flexibility?
Well, if we're going to stick with guitar players, which is my biggest market, guitar players are very traditional. They only like a few shapes of guitar body. They only want a few certain key elements. So it's funny, there's always more technology, but not every technological advance is a big hit. You know, Gibson learned this with the Firebird X. They made it a robotic computer, and they charged a big price tag for it. Nobody wanted it. The first generation of Gibson tuners that would self-tune themselves. It didn't do very well. It took till the third generation before people started accepting this as, hey, this is a good advancement. So technology is it's tricky. Just because something's a better mousetrap doesn't mean that our market is going to embrace it.
So there's a traditional element.
Oh, yeah. The traditional element still takes, I think it still takes center stage in our industry. I'll give you one example that people don't usually think of. H&M, a German company, they make geared tuners for violin, geared tuners for cello. When you think of the tuners on the violin, the cello, you think of those wooden friction tuners that you have to move to stay in tune. That is very archaic. I mean, you're turning wood against wood. You're hoping it'll stay in place for your concert. You're hoping it won't pop out. And honestly, it's not a very technologically savvy way to do it. But you can't go to an orchestra with geared tuners on your violin or your cello, or you're in big trouble because of tradition. Right or wrong, I don't know, but it's tradition. So that's just where we're at.
Now, what about the sound systems that are associated with a lot of this? Speakers certainly have
changed. We've seen huge changes there.
Amps have changed, all yeah. that kind of stuff. Is it more user-friendly today than what it was in the past?
Oh, absolutely. It has never been more user-friendly to buy your own PA system. We were talking about costs earlier, the cost of having a PA system in your home or for special occasions, live venues, all those different reasons that you would need a PA system. The cost has come way down, and it is user-friendly because now what we're seeing, the typical PA system is a powered mixer that is powering two small passive speakers. That's the typical, and it all fits like in a suitcase. That is a typical system that I sell. Another kind that I sell is two self-powered speakers and a passive mixer. Those are still the two big combinations of PA equipment, but we are seeing small and portable. Class D wiring is very lightweight compared to the old Class A and B. And it's frustrating for some of the for some folks that spent a lot of money in the 70s and 80s on world-class PA systems. They spent thousands of dollars, which went a lot farther back then, and they have systems now that nobody wants because they're too heavy, they're too big, they're too clunky, and the modern systems really do keep up with them in terms of wattage and sound and being able to last. So no, now is a great time to buy a Pro Audio system. They have gotten incredibly easy to use. You don't need to buy a crossover anymore. It's all part of the mixer. It's it's very easy, very accessible.
Sounds simple.
It sounds simple, and it's in some ways it kind of makes it harder for me because I like the big Yamaha speakers. I like selling those DXR 18s and 15s and that big equipment that costs.
The physical presence of it.
It's just cool, yeah. And it does sound better, but you can get by with less, and you can get pretty close.
Well, and I suppose in many applications,
yeah,
95% is still going to accomplish yeah. what you want.
And for Humboldt, for sure, you think of Humboldt's venues. You think of Humboldt's venues, we're talking about 50 to 150 people, crowds. You probably don't really need those big systems. We occasionally will get somebody that buys a big system to do a big, you know, party in the hills for 2,000 people or something, but not as much anymore.
No,
it's sad.
Not a lot of those 10,000 seat venues around.
No.
Yeah. Oh, what is the biggest hesitation people have about getting involved with music? Is it the time commitment? Is it the money? Is it just unfamiliarity?
There's a few different categories where I would put that answer. Number one, this is something I wanted to talk about with sheet music. Adults make learning music complicated. We look at it as a language that's too hard to learn. We make it like it's a language that's harder to learn than Latin or Greek. Well, it's not. You've got
ancient Greek,
yes. Right? but here's the thing: you've got you have this musical language. You have notes that can only go so fast or so slow, and there's only so many of them. It's really not that hard, but we adults like to make it complicated. If you pay attention to students that are engaged with music theory in third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, they just learn it. They learn it by doing it. They learn it by learning a couple notes at a time, playing it in simple songs, playing along with each other in these simple songs. And after a year or two, if they've actually done that, they know how to read music, and they know they have a basic grasp of music theory to the point where they could pick up an instrument read the music and kind of know what to do. But I think we adults look at it as something that takes like night classes or something. We look at it as something that takes serious study, and it doesn't.
A higher degree of commitment.
Yeah. And that well, then the commitment's another category. I think a lot of people realize that it is a commitment. If you're going to put in that hour a day, that 5 minutes a day, it's not always easy to do. We have a lot of parents. We have a lot of people that work multiple jobs. But I think the adults that do really well with me, that do really well with our lesson program, are the adults that actually look forward to playing music. Those people that look at music as a way to escape after their work. When they get home, instead of going to the TV set, they pick up the guitar.
It's not a chore. It's something they look forward to. Yeah.
That's it right there. And that makes the commitment melt away because it's actually a part of your life you enjoy. It's not just like doing the laundry or taking out the trash.
Are there more esoteric instruments that people are attracted to? You know, when I think of like the 70s, everybody was having a guitar.
Yeah.
Say, okay, fine. I mean, there's very little novelty in being able to play a guitar. Yeah, to play it well, yeah, okay.
Sure.
But it's, you know, there are
very accessible
certain personality styles,
right,
that want to be different, be unique. Are there instruments that people don't think about that can stand on their own, that are as easy to pick up as some of the others and be able to really appreciate and to play well?
Oh, there certainly are. I don't know how they're doing this year with everything, but there's harp is a big one. The last few months, I've seen a lot more requests for people that want to learn harp. Usually smaller harps, but sometimes bigger harps as well. I have no idea why that's in demand right now. It might be something on YouTube. I don't know. So harps, occasionally we do get people wanting to delve into bagpipes, either because of their own family history or because maybe they saw something on TV. Bagpipes is very difficult.
It's interesting because of the cultural.
Yeah.
In addition to the actual being able to, you know, squeeze the bag, so to speak.
Yeah, it's one of those instruments that definitely is going to have a crowd of people that want to try every year, and many of them won't work. You've got the double reed, and you have to master circular breathing, and those are two very difficult things that most of us don't even want to try to do.
Yeah. Rather try freeform scuba diving.
I'd rather do that myself. But if you do want to learn bagpipes, I actually do have somebody I can send your way.
Are there a lot of teachers around that have the ability to bring somebody from not even novice, but from beginner up through a level that they desire?
Yes, there is, but you have to be picky and you have to be willing to be upfront with your teacher and say, here's what I would like to learn. Here's the level I want to get. And I think in general, I'm not going to use any names, but in general, if you want to master an instrument, you have to find a teacher that only plays that instrument. I'm very hesitant to send you to somebody who's a jack of all trades. If somebody's teaching everything from the mandolin to the guitar to the bouzouki, that they can give you good information, but you're not going to become a master of bouzouki if you don't find a master of bouzouki. You have to find somebody who that's their only thing, in my opinion. Now, of course, that's a very debatable point. A lot of people are going to be unhappy I said that. But if
it depends, again, what level you're looking
for. It depends what level. If you want to get to a master level, that's how you have to do it. If you want to get to a master level, you typically have to find one of the people that is going to help get you there. But we have plenty of people that can get you through to beginner level. We have plenty of people that can get you to intermediate.
And then that difference.
Yeah.
Okay. But at that point, you know, I would like to think that most people who would be instructors would realize, okay, the student now is doing better than the teacher. It's time for you to, you know, and here's a recommendation to go to that next
And that's
level.
That's a difficult thing because we're in an environment where anybody can be a teacher. So you kind of have to, as a student, you have to really pay attention to your goals and what you want and make sure you're getting a good deal. And that is another thing that you can call me about. Happy to talk to you about it.
Yeah, I would think
the more musicians, the better.
I would think jumping in also with more knowledge rather than just pure enthusiasm would be something wise. Do you counsel people or walk them through, you know, or like kind of like an entry interview? You know, what is it you're looking to accomplish? What are your goals, budgets, time commitments, family pressures, all those various things that enter into the actual utilizing the instrument?
So I don't so much. Whenever I sell a band instrument, though, I really try to cover particulars like maintenance and how to, if you've purchased everything you need, but how to put it together, how to take it apart. Years ago, I used to teach, I don't teach anymore, but I used to teach saxophone many years ago. And I remember, I have this memory of one of my students who I watched him put his saxophone away. And he took it all apart, which was great. But the main body of the saxophone, he lifted it above his case about 4 inches and just dropped it. But that was his routine. He just dropped it. And that was how he would put it away. And I had to say, no, that's not how you do it. You have to set it.
Things will bend. Yeah.
But my point with that is if I have the time, like if I sell a saxophone or trombone, I try to talk through, here's how you take it apart, here's how you put it away, here's how you maintain it. Because if you follow these steps, you won't have to bring it in for dent removal and cleaning.
So. Well, in the right size case, too.
Yep, that helps, too, and all the cases are different.
Yep. No kidding.
Oh, yeah. they're different by manufacturer.
Time commitment. Can you get away with not having a lot of time? Are there certain instruments that are easier to acquire the abilities for? Okay, like cymbals, for example?
Yeah, cymbals. I try not to get hung up on time commitment because it's too easy to make excuses. I just want everyone to play 5 minutes a day because that's the old trick. If you play 5 minutes a day, the 5 minutes turns into 20 minutes before you know it. If you make the commitment to just play every day, I think you'll be in a good place. And if you've got some ear toward YouTube or a teacher for content, for direction and accountability, you'll be fine. I think part of what makes a student go from beginner to intermediate is addressing all the bad habits and making sure that you've got good posture so you don't develop serious problems later on. And that's something a good teacher can give you, is making sure that you don't get serious hand cramps and joint issues later on.
Biggest mystery associated with music. In playing music,
I think when we look at an artist that we admire on here on the radio or on TV, we don't quite realize just how much commitment and time it took them to get to where they are. All the sacrifices they had to make to get there. I think it's easy for us to just look at that and be like, "I could be that with a little bit of effort," and maybe you could be, but it's a lot of effort, and that's okay.
Yeah, it's like anything else. When it looks really smooth and easy and dialed in, you don't see the decades of effort to get to that point of smoothness.
Like anything else, it's just something that if you're going to be a great artist, you have to do art. If you're going to be a great writer, you have to write. If you're going to be a great musician, you got to put in the time.
Hmm.
And that's great.
I'm not sure what I'm great at. If folks do have hesitation, you're available, you know, if grandma, grandpa, mom and dad, or the individual themselves, can they come down and just kind of talk it through?
They can always talk it through. We're always there to help problem solve. And problem solving is a key thing. Even if you didn't buy the guitar from me, but you need help on restringing it, even if you didn't buy the sound system from me, but you need help plugging it in, we really are there to solve problems. That's just something that we do. It's something that we've learned. If we can give you good advice, then you'll work with us in the future. That's the hope. And it's worked so far. It's worked great.
I know, if nothing else, you have another musician in the community.
Exactly right. And we like that.
All right. Next 11 years. Give me a break.
Next 11 years.
Oh, anything else that we haven't touched on? Okay, good.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah, I think silence on radio. Silence in the music hall. I don't think it's good on either one.
It's no good. Can't have that.
Unless you're lighting up. Now, do you give canon?
Do I give what?
Canon lessons.
No, but there are some really good software plugins where you can add canon and helicopter noises and things like that.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks for spending some time with us, Anthony.
Thank you.